From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Peña with a local and statewide news update. Alaska Attorney General Kevin Clarkson has resigned after a series of texts he had with a younger female state worker became public. Governor Mike Dunleavy announced the resignation in a statement today, saying Clarkson, quote, admitted to conduct in the workplace that did not live up to our high expectations, and this is deeply disappointing, end quote. More on that story on KTOO.org. The Juneau Assembly passed an ordinance last night creating a Systemic Racism Review Committee. The committee will review legislation that comes from before the Assembly to ensure that it doesn't support discrimination or inequality. Assemblymember Rob Edwardson, who is Haida, proposed the ordinance after hearing community members talk about their experiences with racism in Juneau. He intends for the committee to be made up of experts familiar with systemic racism.
If we took seven people from the pool of people that I'm talking about, they're going to come up with a better plan than what we are.
Other assembly members voiced concern about the amount of work the committee will end up with, given the broad scope of its mission. Mayor Beth Weldon proposed a successful amendment allowing the committee members to determine their own criteria for how to go about their work. She agreed that the ordinance was not perfect.
So the workload is a concern, but again, looking to try and move forward and trying to do this, even this ordinance that I believe has some problems in it, I'll remain the optimist and hope that things work out for it.
The ordinance passed 8-1 with Assemblymember Lauren Jones opposed. An accompanying ordinance introduced on Monday would appropriate $50,000 to fund the committee's work. It will have a public hearing next month. It's the time of year again when the city and borough of Juneau starts planning for a place to house its unsheltered population over the winter. The shelter location has moved three times since 2017. Now the city is looking to buy a building, but that effort has seen pushback from some residents who don't want a new shelter in their neighborhood. From KTOO in Juneau, Rasha McChesney has this story.
Right now, Juneau's cold weather emergency shelter is operating downtown in a building that usually houses an arts and culture center. And the city could keep it there, but Federal CARES Act funds are now available that would allow the city to buy a building. So in July, city officials put out a call to see if any building owners were interested in selling. Three reached out, and the cheapest was the Bill Ray Center. It's a two-story commercial office building sandwiched between a laundromat and a bank. It's within walking distance of downtown, and it's valued at just over $1.1 million. The city also reached out to the neighborhood associations closest to the three buildings being considered, and that's when Melanie Shivens got involved.
I'm the head of the Flats Families Neighborhood Association, and yes, I live in the Flats. I was actually raised here, so I've been in the Flats for on and off for 47 years.
The Flats is a neighborhood near downtown that includes the Bill Ray Center. Shivens runs a local data and economic analysis company, and she put together a data-heavy PowerPoint presentation for her meeting with the city.
I tend to think visually, so I wanted to come in with some sort of visual slides so that those who were thinking about moving forward to Bill Ray could sort of really easily visualize how close the Bill Ray is to schools and playgrounds in the neighborhood.
It's a really dense residential neighborhood.
And also we've got seven schools and six playgrounds that are all kind of just really clustered in that area.
She calls it the world's most kid-friendly neighborhood. She says there are about 1,300 children who attend school there. There's even a graph showing 7 years worth of data on how many hundreds of trick-or-treaters use the neighborhood each year. Now, ultimately, Shivens questions whether the Bill Ray Center is the best location for a cold weather housing because of all the children nearby. I asked Shivens why it's a problem for children to be near people experiencing homelessness. And first, she says she wants to make it clear that while she does head up the neighborhood association, she doesn't speak for everyone who lives in the Flats. Then she says that homelessness is not monolith. There are a lot of reasons why people may end up unhoused. But in her view, the people who are using the cold weather shelter are generally not allowed in the Glory Hall or in other types of housing the city offers.
Because of significant drug use or significant mental health issues, maybe because of overcrowding of those facilities or maybe choice. But it ends up being a different type of homeless population.
Shivan says she has a lot of compassion and sees a lot of compassion from her neighbors for the vulnerability of people who are unsheltered. But she wants to make sure the city is considering all of its options. Outside of the Glory Hall shelter downtown, Dave Lane digs through his things to find a scarf for a friend who's in a rush to catch the bus.
He needed the leash to get his dog on the bus.
That scarf would be a perfect leash.
Lane uses the cold weather emergency shelter. And he is surprised by the news that the city is considering purchasing a building for a new shelter, but he's not surprised that people are pushing back about where it could be located. Lane says a lot of times people in Juneau are compassionate right up until it becomes clear that they'll have to be close to homeless populations, and then it becomes an argument of...
Not around me, not in my neighborhood.
And Lane says that mentality isn't compassionate, that it divides people.
They don't want this place to look like a hobo town. But it's not. And if their passion, compassion to some of these people would exist, these people wouldn't exist how they do.
He says he knows when he's being judged just for being seen.
Fighting a battle of keep him out of my neighborhood or just any form of the abrasiveness, as soon as most of the people feel that, well, they're going to be more uptight. They're going to be rougher.
And he pushed back against the idea that homeless people shouldn't be near children. He fears that shielding kids from that reality will raise another generation with no tolerance.
I would much rather have children walk by and not even see us, in the sense of it's common, it's normal. I've been around that my whole life. I want them to be compassionate.
Lane says he doesn't understand why the city reached out to neighborhood associations, but not to people actually using the shelter. Lane says they should put up flyers at the Glory Hall homeless shelter and other places in town where people can see them.
And then get people at least to think about it, you know, whether they're actually going to get riled up or passionate and get to the meeting, at least have the opportunity to.
The city has received a handful of other letters of interest since it extended the deadline, including one from the owner of a building about 8 miles from downtown. They haven't scheduled another meeting to hear from the public about a new shelter yet. In Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
The Central Council, Klinka and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, received a $150,000 investment from the federal government this week. The money comes from the U.S. Department of Commerce as part of its CARES Act Recovery Assistance Program. It's intended to directly assist tribal citizens. The council plans to purchase equipment to provide virtual training classes for citizens. Sarah Dipdahl works with the tribe's vocational training program.
We recognize, you know, the economic injury that people are experiencing during COVID, and we want to ramp up and be a resource to our tribal citizens and to the community at large.
Dipdahl says the council also plans to create a lending library for the equipment and resources people need to participate.
Not all of our tribal citizens will have the equipment, you know, on hand to participate. And one of the things that we are working to do is to have a lending library. So if they need a laptop, we can loan a laptop.
The council is also currently looking into getting citizen feedback on what educational opportunities are relevant to them. That may include language and arts training classes. Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross says the funds are intended to help Klinkit and Haida, quote, make a swift and lasting economic comeback. The grant funds are part of a national funding effort by the Department of Commerce to assist Native organizations responding to the pandemic. The group tasked by Governor Mike Dunleavy to plot the course of Alaska's ferry system is holding two rounds of public comments on the future of the fleet. The Alaska Marine Highway Reshaping Work Group has been meeting since February. Its first task was to work from the $250,000 ferry study commissioned by the Dunleavy administration. It concluded privatization of the system would not pencil out. Now the 9-member group is working against a September 30th deadline to make recommendations to the administration. Residents of coastal communities have been vocal over concerns of cutbacks to service. More than 200 comments were sent to the Department of Transportation over a five-day period earlier this month. They decried long service gaps projected this winter that the agency has blamed on declining revenues due to the pandemic. This is KTOO News.